The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died. And I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews were with her in the house comforting her, saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who have opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in cloth. So Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we were treated to a similar long extended passage from the Gospel of John. Last week was the man born blind and who is cured, and then there's this back and forth with the scribes and Pharisees about, hey, how can you do this and all that. But now this time we've got this extended passage of the raising of Lazarus, or the bringing him back to life, who had died, and now he's back alive again. This isn't the resurrection. The resurrection happens at the last day. And so Lazarus was returned to a normal, quote, normal life, and would then die a natural death later. He would actually go on to become, there's different stories that he went on to become a bishop in. One says Cyprus, another tradition says over in France. He made it all the way there. But as a missionary going to spread the good news, if you have been raised from the dead, you've got some motivation, you've got a great story to tell. And especially when there's so many other people that saw it happen and can back your story up. You're not just saying that, I don't know, he turned me into a newt. And then it's, oh, but I got better. It's like one of those things. Sorry, a little cultural reference there for you got it. Yeah. So what we have happening there, again, this is so real. Because this is you can see the characters in here. These are real people. This isn't just like a made-up story. And you can tell just by, like, how, in a certain sense, how realistic it is and how it ties in with everything. Well, I guess you could make it up. But how it ties in with everything else we know about this, these two sisters and their brother Lazarus. This is the same Martha and Mary who Jesus goes and he's there and he's in their home. This would be a place that he was accustomed to stop in and spend time there. It seems like he had a wonderful relation. Like, this was like a place where he'd go to rest. He wasn't going there to work. He would go there to rest and with people who were just, he had a deep relationship with a friendship. They're even talking about here when they send the message, the one you love is ill. Come and save him. Mary was the one who, and it just mentions it in this gospel, had washed his feet with expensive ointment and dried it with her hair. What a beautiful gesture of the heart. And even before that, prior to that, was the scene where Martha and Mary, or Jesus is being hosted there in their home with all the disciples, and John would have been there and others, and Martha is busy taking care of everybody, making sure everything's set up, that the next meal is getting prepped and all that, and she's getting frustrated and says, Lord, do you tell my sister to get up and start helping? Because Mary was there sitting at Jesus' feet just listening. Listening and drinking it in, and just absorbing it into our heart. So this is the same Martha and Mary and Lazarus, her brother, who are in this scene right here. So you can imagine that when Lazarus fell ill, Jesus isn't there at the time. He's off somewhere else. It doesn't say exactly where. He's left Judea. So he's left this region, the region around Jerusalem, and he's gone off to the north, probably up around Galilee. And Lazarus falls ill. And so what Martha and Mary do, well, of course, we've got the best friend in a moment like this, because we've seen what he does. We've heard the stories. We've met the people. We've spent time with Mary Magdalene, and she's told us the story of her liberation from the demon. We've met that man that was born blind, and he was healed. and these others, this other one was crippled, this other one was lame, this other one was mute and deaf, and these others were ill, and he heals all of them. Okay, this is so good. We haven't had a need like this, and we've just given so much to the Lord. I'm sure he'll hear our prayer, and so we just need to send word to him to let him know that Lazarus is ill, and if he comes, or maybe even from a distance, we heard he can do that too, from a distance, he'll heal our brother. So, okay, great. Okay, someone send word. And so they send a runner out to track down Jesus. Probably took them maybe 2 days to get up there, because it's a long way from Judea to Galilee. And so they're wondering, it's like, okay, after 2 days, surely our messenger would have gotten up there, but Lazarus is getting more ill. And Lazarus, I mean, he's probably, we can presume he knows what's going on. And he's stressing, he's worried, he doesn't want to die. And Martha and Mary are concerned. And okay, maybe any time now, any day now, maybe he'll just come. And Lazarus, hang in there, come on, just stay strong. Jesus is going to come. We sent word, and you can just imagine the anxiety that's building. And Jesus says the most disturbing thing, because we know that Lazarus doesn't make it. Lazarus dies. And the disappointment in Martha and Mary, didn't our messenger get there? Jesus says this thing that, again, it's in a certain way disturbing. He says, Lazarus has died, he's speaking to his disciples, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. What? Okay, they were already believing. They didn't need this. The apostles were already believing. They had seen others, right? And actually, Jesus had already raised somebody else from the dead, the widow of Nain, which is a little tiny village there close to Nazareth. He'd already raised someone else from the dead. So they've seen this happen before. But the disciples had seen this. But I'm glad. So what metric is Jesus using in order to look at this, in order to this situation? And so they go down to Bethany, right outside of Jerusalem. You can walk there; it's 2 miles away. It's real close. And true to form, Jesus, as he's approaching, somebody else goes ahead and to tell to Martha and Mary that Jesus is—he's almost here. He's coming. He's just a little bit away. And Martha immediately, what does she got? She gets up and goes. And nobody goes with her, because Martha is always getting up and moving around and doing things. And that's just Martha. And we're just going to sit here with Mary, because Mary's got the big heart. And we just want to be with Mary. And Mary is the one that we're always with. And Martha's just, you know, she's Martha and she's busy doing. So, and Martha is the one that goes out and first gets to speak to the Lord. And what Jesus is telling her is something that you can tell it's not quite fully sinking in. Yet the way she's responding is also so beautiful. She says, your brother will rise. And she's like, yeah, I know. Of course he's going to rise in the last day. And I believe that. And Jesus says to him, no, I am the resurrection. That happens through me. Anyone who believes in me, even if he dies, he's going to live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He hasn't exactly said what he's about to do. And she says, yes, Lord, I believe. And what's she affirming? She doesn't say, I believe that you're about to rise him from the dead. She doesn't say that. She says, I believe that you are the Christ. In a certain way, that's almost a more important act of faith there, and to believe that, or to anticipate that he's going to work this incredible miracle. That's more important, that you are the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. So she goes back and tells Mary, her sister. Mary gets up, and now everybody gets up, and everybody goes thinking that they're going to the tomb because they're going to weep there and console Mary. No one seems to care too much about Martha's feelings and what she's in her weeping. And so they go, and Jesus has almost a very similar conversation with him. But this is so important too, because what Jesus is doing here, he is stretching them very, very hard. This is not what they prayed for. This is not what they were hoping for. This is not, in a certain way, what they're expecting. They were expecting the miracle of healing, and it didn't happen. And now he's showing up 4 days late, and they're kind of figuring out that, well, he came, he must have known. And the apostles are like, wait a minute. Why are we hanging out so long? I mean, he heard right away, and we waited. Somehow, this stretching them out so hard is something worth even more than the temporary having their brother not pass through death. That's not how we work. That's not how we think. That's not how we pray for those kinds of things. Yet to our Lord sees it. No. Faith. And not just faith, I believe. This is a deep faith. There's this confidence and this trust that the one who I have seen, the one who I've known, the one who has done so many things, I trust in his goodness. And even when things aren't going good, I know that he knows exactly what's going on, and that I can trust in his goodness, that whatever his plan is, despite it's not been answering the thing that I have prayed for and asked for, that I can trust in that. That's what faith is. At least one way to talk about it. And Jesus there, it's so beautiful, the shortest sentence in the entire Gospels, Jesus wept. What is he weeping for? He's weeping. He's seeing the sorrow that Martha is going through, that Mary is going through. He's weeping for the turmoil and the suffering that the Lazarus went through in the other piece. He's weeping because he's so moved by our human condition. He's living it. He has it too. He's 100. He knows it, and he too is going to be going through the same thing in a matter of a couple weeks from this passage. He's not indifferent. He's not cold-hearted. He's not, whoops, I didn't realize. Oh gosh, I forgot. That's right. I got that email about this a while ago and I didn't. Okay, let me answer this now. That's what Father Daniel does. He knows exactly what's going on, and somehow, in a calculus that's not ours but is his, he knows this is so much more worthwhile, so that we learn and experience, is even a better word, experience what his goodness is. And it's not going to happen on the time frame, the timetable, and in the way necessarily that we're expecting. He weeps. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask for the things that most are deep and closest to our heart. I think our Lord wants to hear those things from us. He doesn't want us to say, well, he's probably has some other plans, I might as well not even ask. No, he wants us to turn all our needs over to him, our desires, our best desires for every good thing. And he wants to give us every good thing as well, but he's looking at us, seeing us from using a time frame, a perspective that is far beyond and far grander and far more glorious than the short little time frames that we might be living in. So ask, pray. He hears, he feels. And he does answer. So So we'll continue offering our hearts, laying them before the Lord, any of our own sorrows, our own trials, our own best wishes and desires and hopes, even exaggerated hopes. We place those before the Lord too. And so, Lord, you know everything. I want to believe that you're the Son of God. I want to believe that in what you're telling us, that everyone who believes in me will never die. And we ask for that gift of faith and the miracles that we need to see in order to allow us to continue to grow in our experience and trust and faith in the goodness of the Lord.